Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. I just want to give you a super big thank you for being one of our loyal Blockchain Life podcast listeners. This might be your very first episode, or you may be someone who has been around since the very beginning, which actually isn't that long ago. Web3 is something that's cutting edge, it's brand new, and we are absolutely excited to bring this valuable podcast to you. I created it because I wanted to learn from experts. I believe that blockchain is going to change the world. I really do. And as a result, I thought, you know what, I need to be on the front lines and I need to learn from people. And that's why I bring on the best experts. I want to give a first mention of our live event coming up very soon. The Igniting Souls Conference. Look, we've been doing it for 12 years before Web3 was even a thing, before who knows if blockchain was a thing or not, or certainly not a big thing. Anyway, IgnitingSoulsConference.com is specifically for authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers. We believe that the world has changed, and we believe that many people are still trying to reach their audience in the same way. And as a result, they're going to have more and more frustration. So that's why Igniting Souls Conference has taken a major overhaul this year. Literally, you need to go to IgnitingSoulsConference.com and check out the speakers, check out the topics, the breakout sessions. We have axe throwing, we have lawn games, we have food trucks. This is going to be unlike any other event on the planet, and we believe that you need to be there. Tickets are very inexpensive, legit. I mean, where can you go to a three-day conference for the super early bird rate? But seating is limited and the super early bird rate ends soon. So go check it out right now. I don't even know if you're listening to this podcast the week of the launch or if you are listening to a backlist. And so maybe the conference super early bird tickets are already gone. Either way, I'd love to see you there, meet you. You can attend virtually or you can attend in person. IgnitingSoulsConference.com. Thanks so much. Talk soon. Now, enjoy the podcast and be a soul on fire. Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. Welcome to Blockchain Life. And we have a fantastic guest today. I am super excited about Breno. You're going to meet him in just a moment. The team wanted me to just mention this exciting announcement. And I've forgotten the last few weeks, but I have it in my notes. Let me read it exactly. It says that Blockchain Life podcast was selected in the top five of the best blockchain podcasts of all the internet. So this is according to, I want to read the company and the article, but it's according to Blockchain Podcasts. And let me just thank them. But you can find out more about them at blog.feedspot.com. Blog.feedspot.com. They're called Feedspot, and they rank different podcasts. And this one specifically ranked us as number five out of all podcasts on blockchain. So thanks so much. Now let's get into the good content. And that's Breno. How you doing today, Breno?
Good. Hi, Carrie. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah.
Congrats on the ranking.
I'll tell you what, man. I started this thing late December just kind of saying I want to learn from smart people like you. And it has been so fun. We've had a lot of guests everywhere from metaverse architects to blockchain experts to NFT artists. Tell us about yourself today, Breno. Tell us your first and last name, what company you're involved with, and how you got into this Web3.
Yeah, my name is Breno and last name Araújo. I'm from Brazil. hence the difficult name. And my company's name, Boro. I started it last year. I've been in the blockchain space since 2016. So before Boro, wow. I was working for Ripple and started Boro last year to build build a platform so people can build bots and automation, focus on the Web3 space in blockchain.
Now, did you say Ripple?
Yes.
I've heard that's pretty big time, right?
Yeah, the XRP Ripple, you know, like so I worked for them for 4 years before starting Boto.
So you know your stuff. Well, let's even talk about that, because some of our listeners, you know, they're entrepreneurs. We kind of say that we reach authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers. How did you know it was time to go from your day job with Ripple to going out on your own? That's a pretty big step.
Yeah, it was a big step, and it was a difficult time for me. You know, like I had just started a new department at Ripple. I was recruiting and building this, so I was working very hard. And at the same time, my wife was off her job doing an MBA and pregnant. Ooh. So we had a baby coming, one salary, not much savings, and I was doing well at the job, but I always knew I wanted to build my own company. So, you know, I'm being always building different things on the side of my jobs, and this one, the idea came in 2020, but last year was like, it just had this light bulb moment thinking, okay, this is how I'm going to start it. And I went to the Chainlink Hackathon. With a friend, and we won two prizes there from Infra and from Av. And that was the first sign. Okay, this idea is a little bit different than the previous ones. Things are working fast. And then one accelerator approached us called Tachyon from Consensus Mesh and Filecoin Protocols Labs. We got into the accelerator, and that was the moment that, you know, I talked at length with my wife, and that was the moment to decide, okay, am I going to do this or not? This is it. You know, I need to live and be full time. The accelerator required quite a lot of effort, and I wanted to give it all ahead, you know.
Yes.
Wow. It's my dream, right? Yeah. So I would have about 6 months of runway until I ran out of money completely in February, and the baby was due in December. And as we were thinking about this, I remember talking with my wife, and she's like, no, we'll find a way. It's your dream. We're going to make it work, you know? So that was great. And she asked me, what does good look like? I was like, oh, good question. Okay. Yeah. If we can raise funds before December, before the baby comes, that would be amazing. That's like a dream. Okay. You know, like, I mean, I hadn't even launched. That was July. All right. And I was like, okay, that would be incredible. And we launched in August, first day of August, and we closed our seed lead investor in October.
Oh my gosh. So
it was just incredible. Like I'm very grateful now looking back, because like it was the time, and it was also the time to raise funds. I was if, you know, you mentioned you have entrepreneurs in listening, you know, there is timing, you know.
Yes,
it was a good time to raise funds. Right now it is not, in comparison to last year, you know. So I raised at the right time. We got incredible investors. We raised 3.7 million in equity and allowed me to start building the business.
Wow. So you mentioned that you, just to unpack that story, did you say you attended a conference with your friend?
It was a hackathon, Chainlink hackathon.
What does that mean?
So it's basically a small competition where you go, and mostly for developers, you go and the idea is you build something using Chainlink, and we built, and I had already the idea of Boro, and we built a demo, which was not a working demo, was kind of like just half video, half code, and just to show the concept, and we got some good feedback from people in the competition, and we got two prizes, and that really was the first kind of like
that was like sign. The belief,
yeah, right? It's first time you get some sort of confirmation, right? Yes. Validation of the idea. It's still not fully validation because you don't have users, you haven't built anything. Then the second validation was the accelerator telling us, well, I'm gonna put give you 80K to try for you to try to do this, you know, based on your PowerPoint or demo. And it's like, okay, cool. That's another validation. Still not no users, but. And then, but then it was great because in August we got our first, we launched and we had like, it was hard to get first users, you know, you start finding friends and people and like come 2-3 people and it's like, ah. But we were very lucky very early on. I hit some, a good, traction with NFTs and that traction, my focus was that, you know, every week I was working on how can I get more users and people using bots. Mm. And week over week, that was my focus. And that's what really helped me with the investors. If it wasn't that, if I didn't have the numbers, I wouldn't have the investors, right? So it's yes. Like, kind of like they follow.
So let's unpack a couple quick things. My listeners, some of them are very savvy and some of them are brand new. So when you say Chainlink, is that a blockchain? What is Chainlink?
Chainlink is a protocol and a blockchain in the Ethereum space that allows real world data to be added to the blockchain. So okay. They position themselves, it's called Oracle.
Oh yeah, Oracle. Yeah, I've heard about Oracle, yeah. So yeah. That Oracle means like it's dynamic, it's ever changing, something like that.
It's ever changing and it's basically the Oracle to get the source of truth for the blockchain, mm-hmm. Based on real world data. So yeah. Most of the weather. Data will have, sorry.
Like weather as an example.
Like weather, yes. And most of the data will have multiple sources. Even price, if you think about it, funny enough, the price of crypto is not in the blockchain. It's outside of it. Mm. How do you bring that back to the blockchain?
Gotcha. So,
you know, Ethereum doesn't have a price in the Ethereum blockchain. You know, it's outside of the blockchain. It's in marketplaces. You know, you have in Binance that would be a price. In Coinbase there would be another price. And how do you bring that back to your contract to say if the price does that, I want my contract to do something else. And that's where Chainlink comes in order to provide a
like a verification.
Yeah.
Wow, this is deep stuff. How would it affect authors or entrepreneurs or influencers? Would it ever matter to them?
It's a good question. I don't think I have the answer for that because I mean, although I'm enthusiastic about Chainlink, I also ask myself similar questions because you don't have to have a blockchain data to use in a smart contract. You could use just real world data, you know.
Gotcha.
The idea in theory is that you collect multiple sources and you make one and you create an incentive, a decentralized incentive, so people don't lie about it. And, you know, in theory, the data is better. But it is less fast as well. So for example, for bots in our case, when I want to look at, so we started thinking, let's use Chainlink data for prices and stuff. But then when I looked at it, it's not very quick to update because it's expensive to update the blockchain. So they only update if there is a big change or X amount of time, like every 1 hour. But if you're doing a bot, you need something that is immediate, right? Yes. So there's... That's it. You know, the protocol is in theory, it's a better place in theory for a reliable source of truth in the long term, but not for every use case. It's not going to work for every use case.
I see how it could work for authors. If an author wrote a book that was charity based, let's say, right? Because we have a lot of authors who write on causes. One of our authors writes on... child abuse, you know, others, missionaries, this type of thing. But I could see how a DAO tied to the book, a decentralized autonomous organization, you know, would be dependent upon real world data. Even like a author who wants to give royalties, a percentage of their books to a charity or a cause. I could see how the contract would be contingent upon certain data.
Yeah.
But let's go right into your company. How do I spell that?
Boto. It's BOTO.
B-O.
And the website is boto.io.
Oh, talk to me about why you chose a .io, because I'm big into this, man, the .io extension. Why did you choose that?
Well, one of the reasons is like .com is really hard to get a domain, right? I like .xyz, but I just like .io for tech, you know?
It
sounds good, and yeah.
Okay, so you can see my screen?
Yeah, that's it. That's our homepage.
This is your website. It looks very clean.
Thanks. We just got this new landing page a week ago.
Oh, I like
it. Thanks to Braden, our new UX UI designer.
Oh, I like it. I like it. So, folks, if you're listening to the podcast and not the video, you need to go to B as in boy, O, T as in Tom, O.io. But take me through this. What does this all mean? Because again, like, dumb it down for people like me. Why would we use this?
Yeah. So, you know, if you're new to Web3, very easily you're going to find out that it can be overwhelming, right? That's a lot going on, and it's a 24/7 space. So just the fear of missing out can be, you know, quite strong. And then you end up easily addicted to things and getting like refreshing pages and looking at stuff all the time, looking at comments and trying to follow up on what's going on.
I say you get hacked. Like, your brain gets hacked, you get distracted. No, but keep going. You're good.
Yeah. So if you see, just as in that main page there, you see a few examples of like bot message, like, look, you know, your wallet balance changed, or a Bored Ape was sold, an NFT, you know, or the gas price has changed. Mm-hmm. Here's the new gas price. So let's say instead of being, you know, overwhelmed by this information or having to find it and paying attention and being aware all the time, you could set up bots to inform you based on your criteria and things that you care about. So you filter out the noise, you know, and then you can act at the right time based on that information, right? Let's say you worry about the price of Bitcoin. Every day you go there and check. Instead of doing that, just get a message every day with the price of Bitcoin, or only when it goes down by X percent. You could, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
but so that's kind of like the idea of initially. Just right now, most of our use cases is how to get data about Web3, but based on your criteria, what matters to you, you know, summarized, and where you want to receive it. Like, do you want to receive a Telegram message or an email, right?
Interesting. So again, I always filter this through authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers. So some of these people, let's say an author launches a new NFT project based on their book, they could use Boto. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Boto. They could set up Boto alerts to tell them, so they don't have to be glued to their screen, whether people are buying their NFTs, or like you said, if the gas price goes way up, therefore they're not seeing NFTs be sold, they can make adjustments. Is this helpful?
Yeah. So typically we have a lot of artists in our platform.
Okay.
And, you know, so I think similar to the writers that you mentioned and to the influencers, if they build their own NFT, most of the time they use Boto they install Boto in their Discord server. So right now we are in over 4,000 Discord servers. And what they do in general is put Boto to message about my collection sold some, every time there's a sales, or the floor price, you know, of the collection, which is the cheapest price of the NFT of the entire collection. So it shows kind of like it's going up or down, right? So people like to see that. And people who follow that artist like to see that kind of thing. So if you scroll down on the...
I love this. Let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah, go on.
Can you tie this into social media or not yet?
That's a very good question. At Twitter...
Yeah, like in other words, if I had an NFT collection and I said, oh my gosh, I want to alert my tribe, my followers, every time that something is sold, you know, kind of like a small win, is that something yet, or that's like, ooh, that's a good idea?
No, that exactly. So
most of the time, what happened in the NFT space is that the social platform they use is Discord.
Yes.
You know, but
oh yeah.
But the next step we are putting Twitter on. The thing with Twitter is that Twitter's API are a little bit limited for bots. So
yes.
We're gonna have to add that as a premium feature. We're gonna bring in July with the
premium. I like that.
So you would be able to notify in Twitter instead of just Discord or other platforms.
Okay, but this is good. One of my teammates, her name is Tanisha, and she's going to be running our Discord soon. But I could tell her that we'll integrate Bato
for sure.
so that it basically, check it out, it saves payroll time. Instead of me telling Tanisha, like, you got to be online all the time,
yeah,
you know, every day. And you got to be alerting every time there's a sale. Now I can just use Bato. Is that right?
Yeah, totally. Ooh, so if you see, cool. Then here you have a little sample of a few recipes. The second one is the most typical for NFTs. If you click on OpenSea sales to Discord. So this is the kind of message you get. See, Dudo sold from this seller to the buyer by 22.9 Ethereum and the price in dollars as well. And then you can make a few changes, you know, and decide how you want to do this. Yeah.
That's cool. Okay. Wow. So you last July. Okay. You can do Reddit too, by the way.
Yeah. You can get Reddit news now and or any RSS feed as well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you want to say, you know, if your NFT is mentioned, you could even filter by mention on the Reddit and say, like, okay, if someone in that specific thing, you know, if that's the thing that you're following, or depends on.
So I got to break this down for my authors. A lot of authors have blogs and podcasts, which are RSS feeds, because we already use an integration with Amazon as authors, where on our author page, every time we're posting something, it alerts our Amazon page. But you're telling me that we could plug in our RSS feed?
Yeah. I'll show you in a minute, but very easy. You can just put the RSS feed address and you're going to get the title, the summary, the URL link, and you can get message right now, again, on Discord, Telegram, Slack, and email, but Twitter soon in July.
Ooh,
and, you know,
Slack, man, that's what my team uses.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's cool. So we could almost alert our whole team every time that there's a sale.
Yeah. And if you want to monitor competing podcasts, you know, and be aware of them when they come up with something as well for your internal team, you know, you can use that as well.
Oh, see, this is why I like interviewing you, Breno, because I'm always trying to think of the author and the entrepreneur and the influencer. And, you know, sometimes authors listen to a podcast like this and they're like, oh, that's interesting, but how does it even relate to me? Mm-hmm. And you see that Breno is giving constant examples. That's great. Okay, so where do you want me to go now?
Well, if you scroll a little bit more, you're going to see our numbers. So this is live numbers. So every time you refresh, you get them. So this is what we have today since we launched in August last year. So 6,000 users, 26,000 bots, and 42 million notifications were sent so far.
Wow. Very cool. Ooh, this is cool. So this shows Discord, Ethereum, OpenSea, Slack. What's this? Polygon. Google?
Email, basically.
But like Gmail? Gmail?
Yeah.
Gmail, Telegram. What's that? Is that Reddit? I don't even know.
No, it's another platform, marketplace. But
okay. Oh, is that Rarible?
Yes.
Is that Rarible? I don't even know. Okay. So this is Botverse, but Botoverse.
Yeah, it's Rarible.
Okay. So this is Botoverse.
So yeah, this is something that's coming soon. We're just building. We just launched something actually today, which is the for feature request for users to request new things. So, you know, I mentioned a few use cases that we do, but if you think like, oh, I would love if it did that as well. Now, if you go to requests.boto.io, you can just write your request and ask. So anyway, that's one thing. And the Botoverse is the idea is that when you build a bot. Like I showed you a few examples, like, oh, you can monitor sales, you know, and send to Discord. But the platform itself is quite flexible. So I can show you the canvas if you like. And I don't know, should I share my screen or?
Yeah, you do that. See if you can. See if you can do that.
Let me see.
And if not, let me think here. So let me go to settings.
Looks like I can.
You can?
I don't know.
Yeah, you did. Here, look at that.
Cool. So I just logged in. So if you know, you show the website that our main page initially. If you click in Try Boto, you're gonna go to this, which is the Boto app, and it's free. So you can just log in and you know sign up, and then you see there are a few things. But I'm just gonna show more where the bots are created, and then to give you an idea of how easy it is as well. Actually, before I show how to create the bots, I'll just show you the recipes page because most people just go here and search for recipes. So there are loads of recipes already created on, you know,
that's cool.
I mentioned the RSS feed. So if you go here and say, I want to, you know, try, you can try this recipe. Like I mentioned, you just get the RSS feed and send to Discord. In this case, it's doing that to two feeds in one bot. But you can keep it to one, you know, and just delete the other one if you want.
Wow.
Yeah, and this is more or less how you do things. And let's say if you say, okay, I want to monitor this RSS feed, but I want to filter and I only want to be notified if there's a certain word in the title, right? So I can add a filter here in the middle. And sorry, I'm clicking a little bit fast here, but and then say, okay, filter the title or the summary, you know, and if it contains a certain word, you know, Bitcoin, then send me. Otherwise, don't send me. So this kind of stuff is very flexible. So the idea with Botoverse, going back to, you know, you mentioned the Botoverse here that's coming soon, is that the whole purpose of the platform was built for people to put their logic on building things and share that with each other. So right now, the recipes were all created by us, by the Boto team, but soon, next month, we'll enable people to create their own recipes and share. Mm. And we've seen users doing very interesting stuff. You know, we've seen users, we mentioned a little bit about the NFT space. We've seen recipes where users managed to filter out fake mints or airdrops. And some users are filtering NFTs by their attributes, so it's something rare, you know. So there's a lot of things going on, and sometimes we see a bot that has there was one that had 50 blocks in it. So definitely
almost like Infusionsoft or Keep, where we would have these long funnels. Wow, campaigns.
So yeah, just to show you a little bit more, you know, and I definitely, if you're listening, I definitely invite you to come and play with this, you know, play around, build your own bots. And if you don't find something here, I mentioned that we just built the requests.
Yes.
So it's just requests.photo.io. And you see here, we already have quite a few requests because we migrated from an old tool. This is more or less
where you can write in your idea.
Yeah, you just put the title here, description, and you use the same login as our app. So if you create the user on the app, if not, you can just create here and then use for the app. It's the same platform.
This is so good. So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
By the way, everybody, go to B-O-T-O, boto.io. It's free. Like he said, you can play around. You just like I sat there for about 10 seconds and thought, whoa, we could do this, we could do that. This is the beauty of Web3. Don't you agree, Breno, that someone creates something and then because it's decentralized, people can just start adding and nuancing. What do you think?
Sharing, you know, contributing, collaborating is the key in Web3 for sure. It brings the whole spirit of community, you know, Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be the biggest value in yes. most of these platforms.
Yes. How do you feel as a your daughter's now? Is it your daughter's son?
It's son.
Okay, so your son is now seven months old.
Almost six. Yes.
Almost six. So he's 6 months old. A year ago, your life looked very different. You know, I think that in my perspective, I'm always asking, you know, God, I believe that we're being directed, you know, and that there's a bigger story to our lives. How do you feel a year later now, seeing, oh my gosh, we took this idea, we won a contest, we went into seed funding, we now have, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, it's crazy, you know. Like I, 1 year ago, it was like exactly. I wasn't even in had been accepted to Accelerator yet. 1 year ago, I was doing my job, had just done the hackathon, and was thinking, okay, I'm gonna build this thing in parallel, slowly, like I've done 20 other things, and let's see what happens, right? And my life completely changed, and I definitely wouldn't go back. I was talking with a friend of mine, because when I was making the decision, I spoke with a few mentors and friends, and one of them who went through Accelerator just before me and was doing his Series A, and he was one of the people who influenced me to go, and I just had a chat with him the other week, and he's like, last time we spoke you were not sure about leaving your job, what about now, how do you feel about it? And I was like, yeah, definitely done the right thing.
Yes,
you know, it's huge, huge change. Yeah. So for the entrepreneurs listening, if that's your calling, if that's the thing you want to do, you got to enjoy the throw, because it was tough. I always worked hard hours even when I was an employee. So if you want to do your thing, probably you're like me. But yeah, it was crazy hours. You know, I was my wife. When my wife was in labor, if the servers were down, I was the only person who could fix it. And we had a 15-hour labor, and you know, it was intense to be, you know, during the pregnancy, last few months of pregnancy. So I honestly have to thank a lot my wife.
She sounds awesome.
To enable me to do this, because if wasn't her, wouldn't have done without her support. So now we look back, both of us very happy with it. But it was, in hindsight, it's easy to see that, but at the time it was not easy to see.
Wow. So what do you want to tell the audience, whether it's about Bodo or their dreams or all of the above? What do you want to leave with us today?
You know, I think the main thing I would like to leave is you mentioned about saving payroll time. So the way I think about Bodo is it's saving resources in general. Like, And if you think about how much resource we waste as humans, you know, how much time we do things that are wasted, I truly believe that humanity will only evolve when we create new things, when, you know, we create a cure for a new disease, or, you know, you create a new technology and stuff. And creativity can only be done by humans. If you can automate anything else, the more space, more resource we have for creativity, be money or time, both. You know, so the real vision for me, and one of the reasons I'm so passionate about automation and building Bodo, is allowing people to create those automations and freeing them, their time to be creative, to create new things and become an entrepreneur, you know, and doing other things with your life. And if you just want to go to the beach and have time with your family, great as well. But, you know, what is there for humanity, basically?
I like that. That is so good. And so you kind of view us on this trajectory where people like you and other Web3 applications, they allow us to, like you said, collaborate, but also you free up that time to be more creative. And it's just like exponential.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, listen, Breno, it was fantastic to be with you today. Folks, boto.io is the place to be. And we're just excited that our community is going to be using your software, or is this what it's called? What is it even called? A DAP? What is this called?
Yeah, it's software, app.
Software. DAP. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much. And yeah, tell your wife she's awesome.
No. Thank you, Gary. Nice. Thanks for inviting me, and it was a pleasure.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.